The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Freud used to say the unconscious is like the ocean. Jung said inside of each of us is a self we do not know. When you bring your story, Sarah Mare brings the psychology. You bring your problems, Sarah Mare brings the meditation. You bring introspection, Sarah Mare brings the questions. Welcome to Talk with Sarah Mare. Your life is the inspiration in these unique, entertaining conversations with psychoanalyst Sarah Mare talking about romance, aspirations, even the news, and how psychology and meditation can enrich living. When you bring your life, Sarah Mare brings the psychology. Now, here is Talk with Sarah Mare.
Hello, this is Sarah Mare, your host on Talk with Sarah Mare. So happy to have you back this week and to be back here. This hour is Real People, dedicated to sharing real stories, and I'm your host and psychoanalyst, Ms. Sarah Mare, live here from New York City. First, I really just want to say a big thank you to you for being here. I know you could have been anywhere in the world right now, and you're choosing to be right here with me. I appreciate that, and I want to be here with you. So I'm happy to introduce a fantastic guest today. It's something new on the show. We are speaking today with an athlete, somebody who channels their creative and personal energy into athletics, and also she is a mother of three beautiful children and a wife, devoted wife of another sports figure. So we're going to welcome Sarah Willis here on the line with us. Sarah, are you there?
I am.
Hello, welcome today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm happy you're here. Where are you right now?
I'm in Kentucky right now.
Okay. So that's where you live?
I'm sorry?
Is that where you live?
Yes.
Great. And so how's Kentucky this morning?
It's cold. It is cold. I'm sure it's probably not as bad as it can, you know, it gets in New York, but right now it's cold today. It was about 60 yesterday, and today it's about 38. So I don't know. I think Mother Nature might go a little bipolar on us, so. Yeah, it's pretty cold today.
Wow. And you, what have you been up to so far on this day before we got here on the phone together?
Well, I work, a lot of people who, you know, compete and stuff like I do, they work as personal trainers in the gym or something like that. I actually work full-time outside of the gym. I do pharmaceutical sales. So This morning I've been riding around talking to doctors, visiting pharmacies, and all that fun stuff.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Okay, so you have to put on, what, a business suit of sorts and carry a briefcase, or what's the protocol for that?
We don't have to wear suits. The men do, but this is one thing where the girls get a little bit more, freedom. We can, you know, we dress professionally, but I don't have to wear a suit. But I have a bag I carry around, you know, with information, detail pieces, and everything like that. Sometimes we do lunches for the doctors, but today I didn't have to do anything like that. I may try to hold this lunch hour open so that I could be here with you.
Beautiful. Well, I'm so happy you did that. Thank you. So, yeah, I know a lot of our listeners don't really know what it's like to be a competitive athlete for the National Physique Committee. And I'd love for you to share what that means, what division you compete in, what age range, if you don't mind sharing that, because it's impressive.
Yeah.
What the National Physique Committee is, how long you've been competing. Just give us some background and some information on that, if you could.
Well, I've been competing since 2010. I've only done figure. I do the open figure in about, I guess, a year and a half. I'll be able to do the master's figure, but right now I've just stuck to open figure. I did novice figure once, and but I've done figure the entire time. I do usually one. I have only done one or two shows a year, but last year I actually did three. So I try to limit how many I do each year.
Wow. Okay. So tell us what figure means when you say figure open. What is that?
Well, open is really just anybody who wants to sign up for it. Like usually with novice figure, you know, it's like it's probably your first show, or you've never won. You've done maybe a couple of shows, you've never won the show, or never won your class in the show. This is how it's been described to me. Master's figure. You need to be 35 and older. Those are the three primary ones that I've had experience with or know a little bit about. I do know they have like teenage and junior figure and all that, but those are the three I'm more familiar with. Other than that, you know, with figure, it seems like figure changes a little bit each year or over the years. It's changed a lot. To me, figure is... it's a woman who still maintains her, you know, femininity, but she does have a level of muscularity to her that is above average, you know, the average woman. We have a little bit more muscle, get a little bit, you know, leaner than some. We're a little bit, I guess, leaner than bikini, but we don't get as hard as the girls who do physique or bodybuilding.
I see. So bikini is a little bit less muscular and striated, and then figure, and then there's physique, and then bodybuilding. It's confusing for a lot of people to put it into perspective. So thank you for describing that. I know that athletic goals are something that most everybody aspires to have, and everybody has on varying degrees. So to have the athletic goals and ambitions. To become an athletic figure competitor for the National Physique Committee and compete over one time a year is quite astounding and very impressive, especially, you know, with a full-time pharmaceutical sales job and having three children and a marriage. So I'm interested in hearing what is a prep like for a show for you?
Well, prep used to, prep for me would be about 12 weeks. I would take 12 weeks to prep for a show. My first show, I took 16 weeks just because I didn't know what I was doing. I'd never had to diet before, so I was like, well, I might, you know, just as a safety net, I'm going to go a little bit longer than the traditional 12 weeks. After my first show, I decided, okay, we can do 12 weeks. So I did 12-week preps up until last year, and last year I decided, you know what, I want to go harder. I want to go a little bit longer and see how my body responds. So I did a 16-week prep last year, and it was just as easy as the 12-week prep. It wasn't any more difficult or anything like that because I really enjoy the foods I eat. So the 16-week prep wasn't that hard for me.
So what does a training schedule in prep for a show look like for you?
Well, usually I'm not really a great morning person, so I know a lot of people get up and get their workouts done first thing in the morning. For me, I do my workouts in the afternoon or evening after I get home from work. Typically, my husband and I would get ready. We would go work out. The gym that we're at now has child care, so we take our kids with us. So they're close if we ever need to go check on them or anything like that. But we would go usually work out around 5:30 or 6. Workouts take about an hour and a half. And then get the kids, go home, get them, you know, changed and everything while I cook dinner. And usually now during prep, dinners are usually kind of late, like 8 o'clock at night, late. But the kids, they don't seem to really mind or care. They are used to it, so they're pretty. They find things to do, in the meantime. But we have the time at home is a little bit more limited during prep, especially depending on whether my husband's doing. But homework, getting kids in the bath, getting them fed, and everything kind of happens pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. And you said you work out mostly with your husband later in the day. Then is he also an athletic competitor? What is his role in the athletic world?
He doesn't compete, but he is actually the one that he taught me all about lifting. I had never mm-hmm. lifted weights before I met him, so he got me into lifting, and then has really encouraged me when I brought up the idea of competing. He's been very, very encouraging, and I think we kind of motivate each other when we go work out. He keeps me focused and on track because, you know, he has been a coach for 26 years coaching mm. football, so he's really, really good at keeping me focused and not letting me get myself distracted, especially when, you know, I'm prepping for a show.
Absolutely. That's so fantastic. You know, they say couples who work out together stay together.
Yeah, we're soulmates.
Yes. I don't know if the listeners have heard that term, but it's soulmates, SWOLEMATES, rather than soulmates, because the couple is so swollen after working out so hard together that they then spend time recovering from the swelling together. It's a really fantastic bond, I think, for a couple to have the physical fitness.
It's been really great for us. I mean, we both really enjoy it. It's a great stress reliever. It's time for us to spend working out, because I know sometimes when we do get to work out, we'll talk during our workout. We just it's just a really good, it's quality time for us to spend together. So we really enjoy it.
Yeah. And how old are your children?
Well, I have a 4-year-old son. His name is Baxley. It's Baxley. I have an 8-year-old daughter named Reagan, and then I call him my bonus child. I have a stepson who's 16.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yep. So why do you call him your bonus child? Just out of curiosity.
Well, a lot of people will call them their stepchildren, which, you know, that's the normal term for them. But one of my favorite authors is Denise Hilder Jones. She's wonderful, and in her bio, she was talking about she has a bonus child, and I was like, bonus child? And I looked it up, and she prefers that term for her stepchild instead of, because she's like, you know, it's just like, I married their dad, and he was a bonus. It wasn't just like, it's just not the normal stepmother-stepchild relationship. I mean, he's like my own, I love him just like my own children, so it's like he was an added bonus.
Got it. That's really beautiful. I'm going to remember that. Thank you. And what was the name of the author whose bio you read that in? I couldn't understand that when you said it.
Denise Hildreth, H-I-L-D-R-E-T-H, and her last name is Jones.
Is she a fiction writer, or what kind of writing does she do?
She does. She writes a lot of fiction books. I think her books it's like they're faith-based. They're great. They're very emotional. They're very like plain spoken. I mean, and they're very funny at some points too. They're great, clean reads. I like those a lot.
Beautiful. So reading is something that you do when you want to take some rest period between all of the working out and taking care of the kids and working?
Yeah, I haven't really got to sit down and read a book beginning to end in a while, but I do enjoy it when I get a chance.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I understand, you know, about athletics and having been a competitor myself is that rest time is so imperative to the process of building muscle and getting
Absolutely.
Lean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
a lot of people
yeah.
don't understand that. Yeah, they just think like grind, but actually your muscles need to rebuild and need to be fed and need to rest so that you can continue to work hard. Otherwise, you'll get mm-hmm. more food cravings, right? If you're really tired, you get more food cravings, and you also just can't mm-hmm. push it as hard at the gym. Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I like to try to get, I like a minimum of 7 to 8 hours sleep, but, you know, sometimes, you know, life happens and that you don't get it. And when that happens, you know, sometimes I'll you know, the next day, you know, I will feel pretty sluggish. And, my husband kind of steps in and is like, why don't you go to bed a little bit early tonight? You know, you didn't get as much sleep last night as you wanted. Or if it's a weekend, mm-hmm. like, you know, why don't you take a nap? You know, we're not doing anything today. Just take a nap. You know, he kind of helps me with that too. And he's a real big encourager of me getting enough rest, enough food, not doing too much and overworking my body. So he kind of helps keep me in line there too.
Absolutely. And do your children and your husband go to the shows when you compete?
My husband normally does. I think he has only missed two shows, and that was because he had to work. My children have been to, my daughter's been to two, and my little four-year-old, he actually went with us to North Americans this year. My husband couldn't, he had to work, but my aunt actually went with us up to Pittsburgh, and we didn't have anybody to watch the kids, so they kind of went on the road trip with us, and she sat with us, you know, in the crowd.
What was it like for them to watch you compete? Did they say?
I'm sorry. But yeah, they were cheering for Molly. My aunt, actually, she got a one of those printing things for the shirt, and she made shirts that said Team Sarah on them, and my kids were wearing Team Sarah shirts.
So they were
really excited, yeah.
It's exciting for them to see their mom go after a goal, I bet, as much as they have to share you with that goal for the period of time.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so it's good to share that with them, yeah.
Yeah. Well, good. So we're going to take a short commercial break here. We're here on voiceamerica.com and on the Seventh Wave Network with Sarah Mate, hosting Talk with Sarah Mate. And today our special guest is Sarah Willis, a National Physique Committee figure competitor, who's sharing with us her experience being a mother of three beautiful children, a wife of another athletic professional, and a professional herself in the world of pharmaceuticals. So we're just going to take a short break here, come right back, and we're going to start talking more about how Sarah works through some of the psychological blocks when she doesn't want to go to the gym or doesn't feel like following the meal plan and what it's like to have to go through, issues of the family with sickness and deaths and things of that nature, and how she keeps motivated. So stay tuned with us for inspiration on getting your athletic goals met and staying in life at the same time.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Do you just seem to be stuck in the same pattern over and over? Sometimes life seems to be about just spinning your wheels. It never has to be that way. Listen for Welcome to the Mosaic Garden with host Christy Ellen, the Mosaic Shaman. Mosaic art is a lot like pieces of our lives. They just need to be put back together, one piece at a time. You deserve to live a happy life. We hope you'll tune in. Welcome to the Mosaic Garden airs live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
You are listening to Talk with Sarah Mare. Call Sarah Mare now at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or Skype at Talk with Sarah Mare. Or email at talkwithsarahmare@gmail.com. Now back to this week's program.
Welcome back. You're with Sarah Mare here on Talk with Sarah Mare, where we talk with real people to become inspired by their real life experiences. Today we're speaking with Sarah Willis, who's in Kentucky, joining us today on the telephone to share with us her experience as an athletic competitor with the National Physique Committee, as a figure competitor, and a mother of three, and also a professional in the world of pharmaceuticals and a devoted wife. So let's welcome back Sarah Willis here on the line. Hello.
Hey.
Hi. Well, I, f- I would love to hear first kind of what your weight training workouts are during a 16 or a 12-week prep, as you were describing before, just so the listeners can really understand what it takes to engage in a preparatory process for the competition day.
Okay, well, with me, the way that my body is, I'm kind of like an ectomesomorph, so I'm an athletic build, but I actually do not hold on to muscle very easily. I have to really work at it. So this is kind of a blessing and a curse because I can't do a lot of cardio, which I know some girls, they have to do so much cardio, it drives them crazy. But usually during prep, I only do about a 10-minute warm-up for cardio, and that's about it. The rest of it is total weight training. So, and I train 6 days a week during prep, and a lot of times 6 days a week outside of prep just because I really enjoy it. But during prep, I do legs sometimes twice a week, just because those are the reasons, one of the main reasons I don't get to do a lot of cardio, because my legs grow at a snail's pace. They take a long time to develop and grow. So I'll do sometimes a heavy leg day at the beginning of the week and a lighter leg day later in the week, or I'll split it up and do quads and then hamstrings, or, you know, do like a second quad day or something, just because they just need some extra attention. But typically I'll do legs on Monday, shoulders Tuesday, back Wednesday, arms Thursday, and then sometimes I'll do either back or shoulders again, just to kind of help build them up, and then legs again on Saturday. I don't really train a lot of chest. Sometimes I might do a little light chest workout here and there, but I don't really focus that much on chest. And I, you know, so far when I get the feedback from the judges, no one has ever said, "Oh, well, you need to do some more about your chest." It's always been, "You really need to bring your legs up. Really need to add some more depth to your hamstrings, or, you know, you really need to develop those quads more." So I really just focus mainly on building my legs and maintaining my upper body.
Beautiful. So share with us what a normal heavy leg day is for you.
A normal heavy leg day for me, typically I say with sets of four, we'll do squats, we'll do hack squats, leg press, leg extension, sometimes, you know, leg curls, whether it be seated or lying, we'll do leg curls. But stiff-legged deadlifts are another one that we do. And, you know, walking pump lunges. But normally when we do heavy leg days, we try to keep the reps under 10, sometimes usually 6 to 8. I very rarely I don't really do a lot of like high rep stuff there, I don't really max out either. So like, I have some people say, "Oh, well, how, you know, what's your max on squat?" or something. I'm like, I really don't max out. I'll go, you know, sometimes down to sets of four, four or five, but that's about as low as I go on reps. But I usually keep it under 10 when it's coming to actual heavy mass building leg day.
So how tall are you?
I'm about 5'6".
5'6". And you said, did you say ectomorph? Was that the term that you used for your body type?
I say like ectomesomorph, because I'm kind of ectomorph in the fact that it's hard for me to put on that muscle. I burn muscle off easily, but then I'm also mesomorph because I do have a naturally athletic build to me, but it's just very hard for me to hold on to that muscle, like the amount of muscle that we have to have in peak.
I see. Yeah, yeah. Well, the photographs, I mean, I'm sorry, I haven't met you, though I do understand that we competed in the show together this summer.
Yeah.
the Northeasterns, North Americans, right? The one in Pittsburgh, the national show?
Yep.
Beautiful. So, but the photographs that I have of you, I mean, you look like you hold really strong, sturdy muscle, especially your shoulders are really beautifully built. So, look like you're doing everything right. And you do compete nationally, so that's really impressive. When you talk about quads and hamstrings and gluteus muscles, just to describe what that means to the listeners, when you're trying to build those, when you do, you do about four sets of about eight reps, and then six reps, and then four reps. Is that kind of how you do? And do you build the weight as you go, as you drop in reps, or what's your program?
Well, usually, yeah, typically, now sometimes I'll do four sets of eight repetitions. Sometimes I'll do four sets of six. It just depends on the day. But there are times where we do the drop sets, where we'll start, or pyramid, where we start with, you know, if I start at eight reps at a particular weight, when I do six reps, I'm going to do heavier weight because, you know, if the lower the amount of reps you do, the heavier you need to go. Because if I do, say that I squat, I don't know, 135 pounds for, you know, 10 reps, then the next time I do eight, then I already know I can do 10 reps with 135, so I'm not going to stop at eight. So you want to make sure you're adding weight to continually challenge the muscle.
And when you're, and so describe to the listeners why you would choose to do heavier, why you personally, for your body type, would choose to do heavier reps over, and less reps over a high rep, lighter weight workout.
Well, typically I do the heavier, I try to go a little bit heavier on my legs just because when you go heavier, that's when the muscle fibers break down and rebuild and grow bigger. We call it hypertrophy. When you lift lighter weights and go for higher reps, so like, you know, you're doing like, you know, 10 pounds for, you know, 20 repetitions, well, that's not really going to do much in the way of building muscle. That's going to create endurance within the muscle. And although I do, and, you know, it shapes the muscle, but although I do the pharmaceutical sales outside, you know, for my full-time job, I actually am a certified personal trainer and have trained in the past in gyms and still maintain some online clients, you know, people who do, they know how to do the exercises, you know, but they just need someone to tell them what one, you know, what exercises to do. So with me, the way that I went through the American Council on Exercise and the way they describe it as is, you know, when you do higher repetitions, that creates endurance within the muscle, it shapes the muscle, it doesn't really, you know, doesn't build muscle. And then when you go, as you go heavier, you start to develop a growth within the muscle. And then, you know, when you go really heavy, it's going to create more like explosion and stuff like that for people who do like max reps of like one to three.
Yeah. So that's why you choose the heavier weight, smaller rep workout, because you feel like it's harder for you to build muscle, especially in your leg areas. And so you really want to rip them apart and pop them.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, how do you psychologically push through? I know, you know, you train with your husband and it sounds like he pushes you, which is fantastic. But on days or when you're, you know, when you're in your final few reps and you're really just trying to push through to, you know, to get your full max range of motion so that you get to the depths of the muscle in the exercise, how do you psychologically, what do you say to yourself in your head to really push through?
Well, there's a couple of things, you know, if I, like, say I was working out by myself and my husband was not there pushing me or telling me what to do or whatever, if I'm there by myself, I'm thinking of a few different things. I'm a competitor at heart, so in my mind, I'm thinking about what my end goal is. Like, how bad do I want it? Like, you know, there you have two more reps to go. Do you, you know, this could be the difference between, you know, first place and 10th place. Or, you know, Sarah, you know, if you really want this, you better get this done. Or, you know, I might think to myself, I might think about my competitors. Like, you know, I bet, you know, one of the girls that's going against, you know, that you're going to be competing against right now, I bet she's, you know, she would be able to do this, or she's pushing herself to do it. Don't cheat yourself. So that's kind of what I do as far as, you know, pushing myself psychologically when I'm in the middle of something and just I'm having a real struggle.
That's beautiful. So, are there specific competitors that you usually know are going to be at the shows that you look at their progress photographs online or anything that you, you follow?
Not typically. I don't really focus on like one particular competitor here or there. You know, like on Instagram, I might, you know, do a hashtag search of, you know, the show. Like, for instance, when we did you know, North Americans. I would look up, mm-hmm. you know, the hashtag North Americans just to see, you know, what it's looking like, how lean some of these girls are coming in, you know, how mm-hmm. how kind of, you know, I don't really 100% like focus on me versus them. But I do, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I do like to see kind of what I'm going to be going up against.
Absolutely.
So I do look at that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely motivating to look on Instagram or something like that, isn't it?
Exactly, and, yeah.
So when you wake up in the morning and you know what workout you have to do that day, is there a psychological prep that you kind of run your mind through and think about? What's your relationship to the workout that you're going to do that day throughout the day before you get there?
I don't really have that much. I don't really think about it that much. Like, I get excited about the gym, but I don't think, oh, well, I have to, you know, do this today because I was pumping myself up. I just I get in there and do it. I have all my plans, you know, laid out for mm-hmm. me. So I know what I have to do. Like, I have like a month's worth of plans written out at a time. So mm-hmm. I don't think, okay, well, let me think about what I've got to do tonight or try to figure it out. Like, I go in there, it's laid out before me. There's no thinking involved. It's totally getting in there, staying focused, and just doing the best I can for that workout.
Beautiful. Yeah. I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize also is just having the entire fitness program outline given to you and all you have to do is follow it. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, following it is enough, right? It takes a lot
exactly.
of willpower to get through.
Yeah. Because some people will ask, you know, well, you're a personal trainer, because I do have another trainer do my training plans for me during prep. His name's Mike Davies, and he's out of Columbus, Ohio. And I have him do my plans for me for training. And some people are like, well, you're a trainer. Why can't you do them yourself? And I could do them myself, but I feel like he takes the think work out for me. I get to do what he says to do, and I'm good. You know, like, I don't have to worry about it or think about it. I trust him and what he has me doing. It's given me great results so far, and it also frees me up to worry about, you know, the clients that I have that I work on outside of, you know, my 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. You know, it feels like it's a lot easier for me. It takes a load off of me. Plus, I have trained myself before, and I will totally overwork myself if I don't. I'll just keep going. So it kind of also gives me a good stopping point.
Absolutely. And do you send him progress pics once a week or every other week? Or what's your relationship in terms of the 12-week or 16-week prep?
Every two weeks, I think, I send him pictures.
Mm-hmm. And what do the pictures look like, just for the listeners to understand what that means?
Usually what I do is I will take a front, a back, and each side. I will do them in our poses. You know, we have mandatory poses that we have to do in figure. I will take a front pose shot, a rear pose shot, and then right side, left side. I am either in my like a normal, like everyday beach bikini or in my figure suit. I usually get my figure suit from Center Stage Posing Suit. She mm-hmm. sends them to me about 6 weeks out from my show. So a little over halfway through my prep, I'm taking progress pictures in the bikini. The last half or the last 6 weeks, I'm taking it in my figure suit.
Beautiful. And does your coach tweak your meal plan or your workout plan accordingly based on the progress pics, or does it usually stay the same?
Usually, he changes my training plan depending on my progress picks. I actually do my own nutrition. I've had him do my nutrition before, and he was great at it. But I think that he and I both got tired of me messaging him, being like, "Oh, I really don't want this. Can I switch to this? I have like a breakdown on this. Can I get this? Or I would really rather have this than this, you know, for my fat source, or you know, something like that." So I just started like, I know what I'm craving at the moment. I want to go ahead instead of having avocado for this meal. I'm going to have almonds, or you know, something like that. So like, I knew how to switch things out.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And in your rest period, you know, when you're letting your body rebuild all the tears that you've created in the muscle so that you're building muscle. Is there a visualization process that you go through? I know I heard Arnold Schwarzenegger say once that he, in his rest process, would imagine his muscles rebuilding like mountains, and he would actually send mental messages to his muscles and say, you know, become mountains, to try to help them activate, to grow more. Do you do anything like that?
Normally, I don't do that in my rest. I will do that actually during my exercise. Like, there are times when I'm working out where I will just close my eyes and totally focus on the muscle, like basically put my mind in the muscle. And, you know, so what I'll do, like if I'm doing seated cable rows where I'm, you know, pulling the cable back, I will close my eyes and I will squeeze and just try to, you know, focus and visualize, you know, pulling my shoulder blades together, trying to, like, almost like I'm squeezing a pencil or something between my shoulder blades, or really focus on the squeeze of the muscle so that I'm getting full contraction out of it, a peak contraction every time.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, yeah, I mean, mind-body working together is a really an important psychological and physical component to the successful competitor that you are. I think we're going to have to take, we're going to take a real short break here. It's really wonderful here speaking with Sarah Willis, joining us from Kentucky to share her experience as an athletic competitor and a mom and a professional in the world. And just hang with us for a couple of minutes while we tell you about some fantastic products and other podcasts on the air here. And we'll be right back to continue discussing the meal plan that Sarah Willis stays dedicated to throughout her training process. And we'll do our usual close of Talk with Sarah Mare in a guided meditation. Be right back.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/voiceamerica or search for us at keyword Voice America.
We all want peace. We all desire a more meaningful life. We work hard to achieve these things, but at what avail? The key is authentic living with Andrea Matthews. Andrea will interview some of the great spiritual experts of today and will provide wisdom to help you raise your consciousness to the level of your own I Am. Your authenticity can give you miraculous gifts, but you have to know how to get there. Listen for Authentic Living with Andrea Matthews. Heard live every Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
You are listening to Talk with Sarah Mare. Call Sarah Mare now at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or Skype at Talk with Sarah Mare. Or email at talkwithsarahmare@gmail.com. Now back to this week's program.
Welcome back. Glad you're still with us. Here we are with Sarah Willis, NPC figure athlete. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hi. I wanted to ask you in our earlier segment, and I hadn't. We have so much to talk about. I feel like we could talk for hours. But I wanted to talk with you about this because I know it's something that a lot of people go through, and it's something that gives people a lot of opportunity sometimes to just stop going to the gym, and it's going through a personal trauma. I know you had mentioned to me while we were discussing, you know, having you as a guest on the show, that your family was going through a passing or a death in the family, and my condolences go to you and your family and to that person. But I'm wondering, I know when that kind of thing happens in a person's life, a lot of times the first thing that goes out the window is a workout plan. You know, they just kind of stop taking care of themselves and just, you know, get it. Of course, the grieving process is exhausting. But I'm wondering, I mean, that was just a really recent experience for you. I'm wondering how that affected your workout schedule.
It shapes the muscle. It doesn't really, you know, doesn't build muscle. And then when you go heavier, you start to develop a growth within the muscle. And then, you know, when you go really heavy, it's going to create more like explosion and stuff like that for people who do like max reps of like 1 to 3.
Yeah. So that's why you choose the heavier weight, smaller rep workout, because you feel like it's harder for you to build muscle, especially in your leg areas. And so you really want to rip them apart and pop them.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So, how do you psychologically push through? I know, you train with your husband, and it sounds like he pushes you, which is fantastic. But on days or when you're in your final few reps and you're really just trying to push through to get your full max range of motion so that you get to the depths of the muscle in the exercise, how do you psychologically, what do you say to yourself in your head to really push through?
Well, there's a couple of things. You know, if I, like, say I was working out by myself and my husband was not there pushing me or telling me what to do or whatever, if I'm there by myself, I'm thinking of a few different things. I'm a competitor at heart, so in my mind, I'm thinking about what my end goal is. Like, how bad do I want it? Like, you know, there you have 2 more reps to go. Do you, you know, this could be the difference between, you know, first place and 10th place. Or, you know, mm-hmm. there, you know, if you really want this, you better get this done. Or, you know, I might think to myself, I might think about my competitors. Like, you know, I bet, you know, one of the girls that's going against, you know, that you're going to be competing against right now, I bet she's, you know, she would be able to do this, or she's pushing herself to do it. Don't cheat yourself. So that's kind of what I do as far as, you know, pushing myself psychologically when I'm in the middle of something and just I'm having a real struggle.
That's beautiful. So, are there specific competitors that you usually know are going to be at the shows that you look at their progress photographs online or anything that you follow?
Not typically. I don't really focus on like one particular competitor here or there. You know, like on Instagram, I might, you know, do a hashtag search of, you know, the show. Like, for instance, when we did, you know, North Americans, I would look up, mm-hmm. you know, the hashtag North Americans just to see, you know, what it's looking like, how lean some of these girls are coming in, you know, how kind of, you know, I don't really 100% like focus on me versus them. But I do, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I do like to see kind of what I'm going to be going up against.
Absolutely.
So I do look at that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely motivating to look on Instagram or something like that, isn't it?
Exactly. And,
so when you wake up in the morning and you know what workout you have to do that day, is there a psychological prep that you kind of run your mind through and think about? What's your relationship to the workout that you're going to do that day throughout the day before you get there?
I don't really have that much. I don't really think about it that much. Like, I get excited about the gym, but I don't think, oh, well, I have to, you know, do this today. Okay, let's pump myself up. I just, you know, I get in there and do it. I have all my plans, you know, laid out for mm-hmm. me. So I know what I have to do. Like, I have like a month's worth of plans written out at a time. So mm-hmm. I don't think, okay, well, let me think about what I've got to do tonight or try to figure it out. Like, I go in there, it's laid out before me, there's no thinking involved, it's totally getting in there, staying focused, and just doing the best I can for that workout.
Beautiful, yeah. I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize also is just having the entire fitness program outline given to you and all you have to do is follow it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, following it is enough, right? It takes a lot of willpower to get through.
Yeah, because some people will ask, you know, well, you're a personal trainer, because I do have another trainer do my training plans for me during prep. His name is Mike Davies, and he's out of Columbus, Ohio. And I have him do my plans for me for training. And some people are like, well, you're a trainer, why can't you do them yourself? And I could do them myself. But I feel like he takes the think work out for me. I could just do what he says to do, and I'm good. You know, like, I don't have to worry about it or think about it. I trust him, and what he has me doing, it's given me great results so far. And it also frees me up to worry about, you know, the clients that I have that I work on outside of, you know, my 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. You know, it feels like it's a lot easier for me. It takes a load off of me. Plus, I have trained myself before, and I will totally overwork myself if I don't. I'll just keep going. So it kind of also gives me a good stopping point.
Absolutely. And do you send him progress pics once a week or every other week? Or what's your relationship in terms of the 12-week or 16-week prep?
Every two weeks, I think, I send him pictures.
Mm-hmm. And what do the pictures look like, just for the listeners to understand what that means?
Usually what I do is I will take a front, a back, and each side. I will do them in our poses. You know, we have mandatory poses that we have to do in figure. I will take a front pose shot, a rear pose shot, and then right side, left side. I am either in my a normal, everyday beach bikini or in my figure suit. I usually get my figure suit from a Center Stage Posing Suit. She sends them to me about 6 weeks out from my show. So a little over halfway through my prep, I'm taking progress pictures in the bikini. The last half or the last 6 weeks, I'm taking it in my figure suit.
Beautiful. And does your coach tweak your meal plan or your workout plan accordingly based on the progress pics, or does it usually stay the same?
Usually, he changes my training plan depending on my progress picks. I actually do my own nutrition. I've had him do my nutrition before, and he was great at it. But I think that he and I both got tired of me messaging him, being like, "Oh, I really don't want this. Can I switch to this? I have a great sale on this. Can I get this? Or I would really rather have this than this, for my fat source, or something like that." So I just started I know what I'm craving at the moment. I want to go ahead, instead of having avocado for this meal, I'm going to have almonds or something like that. So I knew how to switch things out.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And in your rest period, when you're letting your body rebuild all the tears that you've created in the muscle, so that you're building muscle, is there a visualization process that you go through? I heard Arnold Schwarzenegger say once that he in his rest process would imagine his muscles rebuilding like mountains, and he would actually send mental messages to his muscles and say, become mountains to try to help them activate to grow more. Do you do anything like that?
Normally, I don't do that in my rest. I will do that actually during my exercise. There are times when I'm working out where I will just close my eyes and totally focus on the muscle, basically put my mind in the muscle. And, so what I'll do, if I'm doing seated cable rows where I'm, pulling the cable back, I will close my eyes and I will squeeze and just try to, focus and visualize, pulling my shoulder blades together, trying to almost like I'm squeezing a pencil or something between my shoulder blades, or really focus on the squeeze of the muscle so that I'm getting full contraction out of it, a peak contraction every time.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, mind-body working together is a really an important psychological and physical component to the successful competitor that you are. I think we're going to have to take... Yeah, we're going to take a real short break here. It's really wonderful here speaking with Sarah Willis, joining us from Kentucky to share her experience as an athletic competitor and a mom and a professional in the world. And just hang with us for a couple of minutes while we tell you about some fantastic products and other podcasts on the air here. And we'll be right back to continue discussing the meal plan that Sarah Willis stays dedicated to throughout her training process. And we'll do our usual close of Talk with Sarah Mare in a guided meditation. Be right back.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/voiceamerica or search for us at keyword Voice America.
We all want peace. We all desire a more meaningful life. We work hard to achieve these things, but at what avail? The key is authentic living with Andrea Matthews. Andrea will interview some of the great spiritual experts of today and will provide wisdom to help you raise your consciousness to the level of your own I Am. Your authenticity can give you miraculous gifts, but you have to know how to get there. Listen for Authentic Living with Andrea Matthews. Heard live every Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
You are listening to Talk with Sarah Mare. Call Sarah Mare now at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or Skype at Talk with Sarah Mare. Or email at talkwithsarahmare@gmail.com. Now back to this week's program.
Welcome back. Glad you're still with us. Here we are with Sarah Willis, NPC figure athlete. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hi. I wanted to ask you in our earlier segment, we have so much to talk about. I feel like we could talk for hours. But I wanted to talk with you about this because I know it's something that a lot of people go through, and it's something that gives people a lot of opportunity sometimes to just stop going to the gym, and it's going through a personal trauma. I know you had mentioned to me while we were discussing, you know, having you as a guest on the show, that your family was going through a passing or a death in the family, and mm-hmm. my condolences go to you and your family and to that person. But I'm wondering, I know when that kind of thing happens in a person's life, a lot of times the first thing that goes out the window is a workout plan. You know, they just kind of stop taking care of themselves and just, you know, get it. Of course, the grieving process is exhausting. But I'm wondering, I mean, that was just a really recent experience for you. I'm wondering how that affected your workout schedule and how you stay focused through something like that.
Well, yeah, it was a very close personal friend of our families, and we had to actually drive from Kentucky down to South Carolina for the funeral. You know, when something like that happens and it's unexpected, it is very hard to focus on pretty much anything outside of that. What helps, number one, I mean, to have things prepared ahead of time, because the last thing that you want to worry about is cooking food. But mm-hmm. it's really helpful to have food prepared ahead of time, so all you have to do is heat it up when it's time to eat. When it comes to working out, you know, so every once in a while something will happen and you cannot get that workout in that day. My recommendation for that is a couple of different things. You can, you know, double up one day and just kind of do two body parts, or you can, mm-hmm. You know, like if something happens on, you know, Wednesday, you can't work out, maybe work out on the day that you had designated as your rest day. That's another mm-hmm. you know, good thing. You know, you can, there's a lot of different things you can do, and sometimes it seems very trivial when it comes to something serious as someone, you know, that you're very close to passing away. Mm-hmm. But, you know, going to the gym and working out, it's a very, very good stress reliever. It's like therapy for your body and your mind in some cases. When you feel so stressed out, you go into the gym and you almost exhaust yourself. And that has, it can have a very calming effect on your body. And, you know, that's something that, you know, that it's been very effective for me. You know, when I'm very upset, it's very good to, you know, good for me to go to the gym, just settle down, you know, work out in there, focus on that, exhaust my muscle, exhaust my body, and you know, it really, I don't know, it does help with that a lot. It really mm-hmm. helps clear your mind out and just do your body at ease a little bit more. I know that's crazy because you're putting your body through some type of trauma, but it really mm-hmm. is very therapeutic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point and really helpful. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, and I also know one of the things that keeps people from of wanting or believing that they can be an athletic competitor in the National Physique Committee, as much as they might see the photographs of these beautiful girls like yourself, you know, in these beautiful posing costumes and all this makeup and these heels and doing these very statuesque poses and looking gorgeous and muscular at the same time. It's the diet, it's the meal plan that really deters a lot
Absolutely.
Of people. And I'm hoping you can share what a daily meal plan is like for you, or does your meal plan fluctuate throughout the week? Is there a rotation?
It can fluctuate a little bit. You know, like I mentioned before, you know, I have to work to keep my muscle on, so I can't really drop my calories too low. At one point for a prep, I was doing about 1,800 calories a day, and my body started just kind of shrinking up. And so the coach that I work with, the trainer I work with, even though he wasn't doing my nutrition, he would see me in my training, my updated progress pictures. And one day he just messaged me. He was like, Sarah, add 300 calories a day to your diet. And I was like, oh, okay. Or and then another, you know, a couple of weeks later, he said, you know, you need to go have a cheat day. You need to eat some pizza or burritos or something. And my husband was ecstatic because he had been telling me the entire time, I don't think that you're eating enough. I think that you're not eating as much as you should be eating. And so my husband felt very vindicated when my coach he's usually whenever he and I have a disagreement about something during my prep, he's like, how many times have I been right? You know, I bet Mike was not the fan. Sure enough, you know, my trainer will say, you need to do this. My husband kind of throws his hands up and is like, yep, I told you, you know, I said it. So, we've been adding some calories. I think at one point this past prep, I was up to like 2,600 calories a day. I would eat a lot. It's a lot, mostly protein. I don't do super low carbs. I do moderate carbs, moderate fat, but high protein.
Yeah, so the meal plan is really a specific kind of scientific combination of protein, fat, a certain kind of fat, and a certain kind of carb, right? And
exactly,
and designed to all fit within the certain caloric amount that you want to reach per day. So when your coach said that you needed to add 300 calories, what kind of food did he or did you decide to use to make that 300 calories?
We use more proteins and fats. We didn't add too many carbs to it just because, it depends on the day. On my back and leg days, or if I ever do a whole body day, we add a few more carbs and take away some fats. On days where, you know, it might be arms or something, we would add more fat and take away some carbs. But protein was consistently high.
So what's a meal plan for you on a regular day? What's your breakfast and
like for prep, like for my like during prep?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, during prep, I usually eat about six meals a day. Breakfast is typically about a cup of egg whites, and I will still eat a little bit of turkey bacon just to kind of give my egg whites some flavor. I see how my body reacts to things, and if I'm eating turkey bacon and still getting lean, then I'll continue to eat it. So I would eat, you know, I would cut up one or two pieces of turkey bacon, saute it, and pour egg whites on top of it. I would eat about a piece of Ezekiel bread, and I might put half a tablespoon of natural peanut butter on that. My second meal was usually like a shake, excuse me, or like maybe some chicken and avocado with some salsa on it. Third meal was usually like chicken and basmati rice. Fourth meal was typically my post-workout shake. Fifth meal was like chicken or flank steak with sweet potato or cucumber or something like that, or maybe both. And then my last meal of the day, I usually would eat my breakfast all over again just because I love that meal. So I would eat breakfast for my first and my sixth meal each day. And on days where we felt like I may need some extra calories or something, I would have maybe another shake like right before I went to go lay in the bed.
And so what time of day is your sixth meal usually coming in?
Usually it's coming in, I would say around 9 o'clock. Or, you know, sometime between 9 and 10 o'clock. I know there are a lot of people out there that don't eat, past 9. They stop eating it or past a certain time because they feel like, you know, they that will make them gain weight or something. But, I mean, if I'm hungry, my body's trying to tell me something. And typically, you know, I'm trained with a purpose, with a goal in mind. And this is, you feed your body differently depending on your goals. If you're just trying to lose weight, you eat one way. If you're trying to, trying to gain weight, you eat one way. If you're trying to get ready for a competition, it is literally down to a science on how you feed your body, the timing of it, and everything like that.
Absolutely. Well, it's the biggest dichotomy, right? You're building muscle and losing fat at the same time, which is
exactly
for the body. It's very confusing. So you mentioned a cheat meal. I know that perks a lot of people's attention. Do you get a cheat meal once a week normally, or it's just based on what you're looking like and what your coach says?
Honestly, I think it's based on what I look like. When I prepped last year, initially I was prepping. I was going to prep for USA, which was out in Vegas. I did that show. Mm-hmm. And then after that show, my coach said, well, why don't you try North American? So that was kind of like an afterthought for me. Mm-hmm. So when I was prepping for USA's, I did the 16-week prep. And I think I had maybe one cheat meal in there, but it was pre-planned. Like, I knew I was going to have it. I think I planned it, like, because it was a 16-week prep, I think I planned it, like, halfway through my prep. So I had it, like, 8 weeks in. And so it was pre-planned for, like, a month or two. So I try to do something like that if I'm caught out some, you know, because I also want to make sure I don't do too many cheat meals, just because I like the food I'm eating. I'm seeing results with the food I'm eating, and but I also know that sometimes life happens, you're caught off guard, and even with all the preparing that you can do, all the planning ahead you can do, sometimes things happen and you have to try to make the best possible decision you can make. So I try to, choose, make the best choices, and sometimes, you kind of have to make room for, life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you said earlier that being prepared with your meals is a really helpful way to, to make sure that you don't go off of your meal plan or get out of your routine. So do you carry Tupperware with you with each meal already pre-made throughout the day? Or?
I do. Yeah. Typically I do. Like, when I'm out working, I have, I got one of the 6-pack bags. Well, a lot of people mm-hmm. Have heard of them, but for those that don't know, the 6-pack bags, it's a brand. It's like a cooler. It comes with its own little Tupperware that fits neatly inside of it. It has like little sections and pockets to slide everything in. It also has its own ice packs that come with it. You just pop them in the freezer when you get home from work or whatever. I've got one of those. I also got one of the 6-pack bag purses. And it holds 4 different meals, and so I will carry those meals around with me. And, I'll be driving, because my work involves a lot of driving, so I'll stop at a gas station, heat my food up, get in the car, and eat as I go.
Wow. So you're really organized, and you have to think everything out. Mm-hmm, yeah, but then it takes away from the stress reliever. It relieves the possibility of stress later if you go off your meal plan and then you end up not doing as well as you wanted to do in the show. So I think, preparation is one of the biggest keys to any kind of success in life, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm so happy that you've been with us today, and I hope everybody listening has learned a lot about nutrition and athletic inspiration and how to stay focused on your goals and also be available to your beautiful family, as it sounds like you are. I have a feeling we might see them out there competing one day.
Oh.
Who knows? But I'd like to take a few minutes at the end. We're getting close to the close of the show. It happens so fast. I'd like to take a few minutes to just lead the listeners and yourself, Sarah, if you want to stay on the line, through just a simple step-by-step meditation designed to help manifest goals through visualization, okay?
Okay.
So, yeah. Let's just sit down, or if you're standing, wherever you are, just take a few deep breaths. You can do it if you're driving or walking or whatever. And just start to feel the opening of your diaphragm just below your rib cage. Notice the expansion of breath in your diaphragm, in your pelvis, in your ribs. Notice the way that as you bring breath into your body, the heat from your breath just naturally expands you like a balloon. And noticing the temperature inside of your body as you exhale, heat moving through your body, through your heart, through your throat, and out your nostrils. And just continue focusing on the feeling of breath entering and leaving your body. It's almost like the universe is breathing you. You don't have to work hard at it. Just notice the way that it feels and the temperature it's creating in your body. And just very gently begin to visualize whatever it is that you're building, what your goal is. In the case that we're speaking about today with Sarah Willis, it would be the most magnificent sculptured figure body that she can create for whatever the upcoming show is that she's working toward. Maybe she's imagining herself in her posing costume, imagining herself on stage, being placed number one in the box, in the middle of the lineup of other competitors, picturing having the trophy in her hand and all of the hard work and dedication paying off to, I mean, it's always a payoff, of course, whatever, wherever you reach, but we're really working on visualizing the utmost goal so that we can manifest through visualization. So really just standing there, holding the trophy and realizing that she's an inspiration to everybody else and has become that through her hard work and dedication. So you individually, listener, can just imagine yourself being successful at whatever it is that your goal is. Since we're talking about fitness, maybe your fitness goal, maybe you're walking down the beach feeling like the most proud and prominent body that you can possibly develop is yours, feeling like a powerful animal, feeling strong and lean. Imagining yourself feeling proud of yourself, feeling alive, feeling electric, feeling the force of nature that runs throughout your body, keeping you alive, keeping you motivated, feeling that pulse within your being. And just seeing in your most clear mind's eye a picture of whatever it is that you want to manifest in your life. And just stay with that, and you can revisit it at any time during the day. And when you feel unmotivated and you need a little psychological motivation, go back to visualizing that goal and that dream and knowing that you can get there. And you can share that inspiration through others, through inspiring others and through being inspired by others. And I want to thank Sarah Willis for being with us today. Thank you all for being with us here on Talk with Sarah Made and Voice America, Seventh Wave Network. And Sarah, before you go, why don't you just tell them where they can find you online?
They can find me on Facebook. It's NPC, Figure Competitor Sarah Willis. I'm also on Twitter. My handle is SarahW8701. And on Instagram, it's muscles_and_makeup. And I will be coming up your way, I think, at the end of June for Universe. So I think that's my next show I'll be doing.
Awesome. Team Universe coming our way. Well, yeah, anybody that wants to check out the NPC, check out National Physique Committee. Just Google that. You can look at all the different figure competitors and the body type that we've been discussing today and figure out what body type's best for you and pick your goal and get working at it. It's a beautiful, beautiful way to just have a wonderful fitness program throughout the year, throughout everything else you do. So thanks for inspiring us today, Sarah, and I hope you have a beautiful day.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Talk with Sarah Made. We can't wait to hear more from you and share more with you on next week's program. Please be here next Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. Have an enlightening week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the 7th Wave Network.
For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Or it shapes the muscle. It doesn't really, doesn't build muscle. And then as you go heavier, you start to develop, it grows within the muscle. And then, when you go really heavy, it's going to create more like explosion and stuff like that for people who do like max reps of like 1 to 3.
Yeah. So that's why you choose the heavier weight, smaller rep workout, because you feel like it's harder for you to build muscle, especially in your leg areas. And so you really want to rip them apart and pop them.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, how do you psychologically push through? I know you train with your husband, and it sounds like he pushes you, which is fantastic. But on days or when you're in your final few reps and you're really just trying to push through to get your full max range of motion so that you get to the depths of the muscle in the exercise, how do you psychologically, what do you say to yourself in your head to really push through?
Well, there's a couple of things, if I, like, say I was working out by myself and my husband was not there pushing me or telling me what to do or whatever, if I'm there by myself, I'm thinking of a few different things. I'm a competitor at heart, so in my mind, I'm thinking about what my end goal is. Like, how bad do I want it? Like, there you have 2 more reps to go. Do you, this could be the difference between, first place and 10th place, or, Sarah, if you really want this, you better get this done, or, I might think to myself, I might think about my competitors. Like, I bet, one of the girls that's going against, that you're going to be competing against right now, I bet she's, she would be able to do this, or she's pushing herself to do it. Don't cheat yourself. So yep. That's kind of what I do as far as, pushing myself psychologically when I'm in the middle of something and just I'm having a real struggle.
That's beautiful. So, are there specific competitors that you usually know are going to be at the shows that you look at their progress photographs online or anything that you follow?
Not typically. I don't really focus on like one particular competitor here or there. Like on Instagram, I might do a hashtag search of the show. Like for instance, when we did North Americans, I would look up the hashtag North Americans just to see what it's looking like, how lean some of these girls are coming in, how kind of, I don't really 100% like focus on me versus them. But I do, I'm not going to lie. I do like to see kind of what I'm going to be going up against.
Absolutely.
So I do look at that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely motivating to look on Instagram or something like that, isn't it?
Exactly.
So when you wake up in the morning and you know what workout you have to do that day, is there a psychological prep that you kind of run your mind through and think about? What's your relationship to the workout that you're going to do that day throughout the day before you get there?
I don't really have that much. I don't really think about it that much. Like, I get excited about the gym, but I don't think, oh, well, I have to, do this today. Okay, let's pump myself up. I just I get in there and do it. I have all my plans, laid out for me. So I know what I have to do. Like, I have like a month's worth of plans written out at a time. So I don't think, okay, well, let me think about what I've got to do tonight or try to figure it out. Like, I go in there, it's laid out before me. There's no thinking involved. It's totally getting in there, staying focused, and just doing the best I can for that workout.
Beautiful. Yeah. I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize also is just having the entire fitness program outline given to you and all you have to do is follow it. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like following it is enough, right? It takes a lot of willpower to get through.
Yeah. Because some people will ask, you're a personal trainer, because I do have another trainer do my training plans for me during prep. His name's Mike Davies, and he's out of Columbus, Ohio. And I have him do my plans for me for training. And some people are like, well, you're a trainer. Why can't you do them yourself? And I could do them myself, But I feel like he takes the think work out for me. I get to do what he says to do, and I'm good. You know, like I don't have to worry about it or think about it. I trust him and what he has me doing. It's given me great results so far, and it also frees me up to worry about, you know, the clients that I have that I work on outside of, you know, my 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. You know, it feels like it's a lot easier for me. It takes a load off of me. Plus, I have trained myself before, and I will totally overwork myself if I don't. I'll just keep going. So it kind of also gives me a good stopping point.
Absolutely. And do you send him progress pics once a week or every other week? Or what's your relationship in terms of the 12-week or 16-week prep?
Every two weeks, I think, I send him pictures.
Mm-hmm. And what do the pictures look like, just for the listeners to understand what that means?
Usually what I do is I will take a front, a back, and each side. I will do them in our poses. You know, we have mandatory poses that we have to do in figure. I will take a front pose shot, a rear pose shot, and then right side, left side. I am either in my like a normal, like everyday beach bikini or in my figure suit. I usually get my figure suit from Center Stage Posing Suit. She sends them to me about 6 weeks out from my show. So a little over halfway through my prep, I'm taking progress pictures in the bikini. The last half or the last 6 weeks, I'm taking it in my figure suit.
Beautiful. And does your coach tweak your meal plan or your workout plan accordingly based on the progress pics, or does it usually stay the same?
Usually, he changes my training plan depending on my progress picks. I actually do my own nutrition. I've had him do my nutrition before, and he was great at it. But I think that he and I both got tired of me messaging him, being like, "Oh, I really don't want this. Can I switch to this? I have like this breakdown on this. Can I get this? Or I would really rather have this than this, you know, for my fat source, or you know, something like that." So I just started like, I know what I'm craving at the moment. I want to go ahead instead of having avocado for this meal, I'm going to have almonds or you know something like that. So like, I knew how to switch things out.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And in your rest period, you know, when you're letting your body rebuild all the tears that you've created in the muscle so that you're building muscle, is there a visualization process that you go through? I know I heard Arnold Schwarzenegger say once that he in his rest process would imagine his muscles rebuilding like mountains, and he would actually send mental messages to his muscles and say, you know, become mountains to try to help them activate to grow more. Do you do anything like that?
Normally I don't do that in my rest. I will do that actually during my exercise. Like there are times when I'm working out where I will just close my eyes and totally focus on the muscle, like basically put my mind in the muscle. And, you know, so what I'll do, like if I'm doing seated cable rows where I'm, you know, pulling the cable back, I will close my eyes and I will squeeze and just try to, you know, focus and visualize, you know, pulling my shoulder blades together, trying to like almost like I'm squeezing a pencil or something between my shoulder blades, or really focus on the squeeze of the muscle so that I'm getting full contraction out of it, a peak contraction every time.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, yeah, I mean, mind-body working together is a really an important psychological and physical component to the successful competitor that you are. I think we're going to have to take, we're going to take a real short break here. It's really wonderful here speaking with Sarah Willis, joining us from Kentucky to share her experience as an athletic competitor and a mom and a professional in the world. And just hang with us for a couple of minutes while we tell you about some fantastic products and other podcasts on the air here. And we'll be right back to continue discussing the meal plan that Sarah Willis stays dedicated to throughout her training process. And we'll do our usual close of Talk with Sarah Mare in a guided meditation. Be right back.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/voiceamerica or search for us at keyword Voice America.
We all want peace. We all desire a more meaningful life. We work hard to achieve these things, but at what avail? The key is authentic living with Andrea Matthews. Andrea will interview some of the great spiritual experts of today and will provide wisdom to help you raise your consciousness to the level of your own I Am. Your authenticity can give you miraculous gifts, but you have to know how to get there.